What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And today, we're talking about emotional labor.
Oh, so heavy.
All these feelings.
Sounds like a heavy, heavy thing, right?
It does.
I don't even know what it is yet, but I'm like, I'm struggling to carry it.
As artists, it's the only type of labor we've done.
That is very true.
So, you know.
Should we kick it off with a quotable?
Yeah, I think we got a couple.
This is from Marilyn Vossant? Savant?
Vossavant?
God, I butchered that. I'm so sorry, Marilyn. This is
she's for sure listening.
She's an author and playwright. Shout out to Marilyn. What women want is what men want. They want respect.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I would definitely
true.
Agree with that. Uh-huh. Thank you.
It'd be weird if we're like, I don't think so. I think we want shoes.
And then this one is from, I mean, you guys, is it just me or these names?
You thought?
You thought.
This sounds like we're reading an iTunes review. This is somebody's weird, made-up iTunes name.
You thought. Burmese diplomat and secretary general of the United Nations. I should probably know who that is. This quote is, respect for the truth comes close to being the basis for all morality.
I love that.
Very nice.
There we go. I think that's so good.
Okay.
Shall we get into the definition? Yeah. I need to know a little bit more.
I think we let those sink
in long
enough.
This is a helpster's choice,
this topic. This is it. Yeah, shout out to Haley for the recommendation. Very excited to dig into this.
Thank you, Haley. So the term was first coined by the sociologist Arlie Hochschild.
What is that?
Hochschild? Hochschild. In her 1983 book, Emotional Labor, as she conceived it, referred to the work of managing one's own emotions that was required by certain professions. Recently in the New York Times, it was defined as the duties that are expected of you but go unnoticed.
Oh,
oh boy. Oh boy, Alberto, does that sound like all of stand-up comedy. According to Hochschild, the point is that while you may also be doing physical labor and mental labor, you are crucially being hired and monitored for your capacity to manage and produce a feeling.
Oh, ooh. My God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
This sounds like what managers and agents have to do, honestly, is just like keep their clients like in a docile space.
Right. Like the management of other people's emotions and your own emotions and like,
we're like a baby, like you have to like rattle something in front of our face to keep us from crying all the time.
I needed attention from my manager this weekend, and I had said like, oh, are you free to talk in the next few hours? And she had a client at the Oscars, and she's like, yeah, I can call you when I'm going on my way over there. And I'm like, it's fine. We don't have to, you know, that seems like a lot more than my feelings. But yeah, her whole job is just to like put out emotional fires of narcissists like myself.
that must be a lot of pressure, because having that something very personal be like affect you financially in a way. Like if you're in an office environment or any environment where you're constantly not knowing like, oh, I don't know what the boss is going to be like today walking in. Mm-hmm. Is he going to fire everybody? He or she going to fire everybody? Is it, you know what I mean? Like that living on edge like that every day. Oof.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been, besides stand-up, been in environments like that?
Yeah. My first job was at a pizza place, and it was like run by two, like, quite frankly, like verbally abusive husband and wife who had moved from Chicago and were just very harsh. You know, if they were too busy, they'd just like make you go on a delivery run, and you're like, I didn't sign up for this, I'm an 18-year-old girl, like, you know what I mean? So you're just, everyone was very stressed. When I quit, they were like, can you stay because you're the only one who doesn't cry, not what you want to hear. But I think this can also be positive too, is like sometimes people get hired just because they are you know, like they make the workplace a more like healthy,
feel more positive.
Positive place.
They boost morale.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
It's like, like, oh my God, have you guys been watching that Cheer show? Like, is it
Jerry? College. Yes, I watched the whole thing.
Jerry is it Jerry?
Jerry.
He's the epitome of positive emotional labor.
Yes.
He carries that team with his energy.
Could not agree more.
Is it a show?
It's a show on Netflix. It's like
reality
six episodes.
Show?
Yeah, it's a documentary that follows this champion cheerleading squad in Texas, and it's like Bring It On, but in real life.
Yeah.
It's not like and cheerleading, like, I mean, it's that too, but it's like acrobatic, crazy, freaking gnarly athleticism.
You watch somebody breaks at least five bones every episode.
Yeah,
and I'm not exaggerating.
Gosh,
every 20 minutes, it's like real life. Jackass, but in skirts.
I didn't think I would get sucked in. I'm like, I don't really have a connection with cheerleading, and you know, halfway through an episode, I'm like, oh my God, who's gonna make Matt?
Whoa,
yes.
That was
yes.
I saw the SNL skit about it, and I'm like, this is hilarious. And it's, did you see the SNL skit?
No.
It's basically what you just said, is like, it's just them going, who's gonna make Matt? And everybody's
broken
like in
bones.
Casts.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
and there's no future for it. It's like you have those 2 years at this junior college doing it, and then, I mean, you could become maybe like a cheer coach, but you don't get to continue to cheer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these children are breaking their bodies and going through head trauma and all that for 2 years, and then it's done.
Yeah. Well, you could cheer for like the NFL or something, right? Do they have cheer?
I guess so.
Yeah, but it's a different, it's not like this,
it's not
level
like
of
that.
Athleticism.
Yeah,
right.
They're doing.
I
guess that's probably the majority of college athletes, though, right? Like, you have your college career, and then if you don't go pro, then it's like, now what? You know?
Right.
Like, in that in-between crazy, scary phase, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or you go pro and you murder people like Aaron Hernandez.
There you go.
Another great Netflix
When you
watch.
Really don't know when to stop.
Yeah.
lots of different types of emotional labor. what we're learning today on today's episode.
Yes.
Delaney, do you want to read the central role?
Oh, yes, I would love to do that. our society commonly expects
surface with a smile across many industries. Teachers, nursing home attendants, and childcare workers are examples of jobs requiring emotional labor.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, so true. Yeah, any customer service, right? Flight attendants who are expected to smile and be friendly even in stressful situations. And the most common example... are the most common example.
Yeah.
And during training, flight attendants are taught to smile genuinely, emphasizing that this outward display of a good mood can't appear forced. Attendants must be warm and cheerful even when serving passengers. Without the emotional work that flight attendants put in, many passengers would consider their service inadequate.
Oh, and I can, there are so many flight attendants who are forcing it.
Oh boy, are they. Yeah.
Oh, I have run, the most passive aggressive people are flight attendants on a bad day. I mean, it is crazy. How many flight attendants have you had get on the thing and be like, okay, if we could all just board quickly, we are trying to get you out of here on time. So if you could just pick a middle seat, that's all that's left. Pick a middle seat. These are Southwest. Just so angry. Or like when your suitcase won't fit and they're like, doesn't look like that's going to work. Yeah. So maybe you'll check it. And I'm like, but I'd rather not. It's like, but you are going to.
We're out to arrest you. Yeah. I love when you take off and right away, I mean, right after takeoff, somebody is already up out of their seat trying to go to the bathroom, and you just hear this voice come over that's like, hi, so the buckle your seatbelt sign is still on, so we really need you to take your seat. And you just like can feel them being like, I'm gonna fucking kill you if you sit down right now. Like everything that they're dying to say, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's, I love that.
I'm always that person who gets up immediately.
I always push it. I got pee all the time on there.
See, I don't notice it that much because you guys fly way more than I do. So like, you know, maybe somebody who, like, I don't know, shops at Target once a week or something would be like, Target employees can be real passive aggressive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you guys are flying like almost every weekend.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine just any kind of customer service industry is like,
you gotta pretend.
You have to pretend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but us too, we gotta pretend on stage. I lost my shit on Thursday in Spokane.
Really?
Sorry.
Great weekend in Spokane,
sorry,
by the way.
My hometown.
No, they were all great. Like, I mean, it was literally one table. That's it. Like, everybody else was great. The whole weekend was great. But there was a table front and center that had been talking since they got their checks, and something happened where like the check drop was just super long the first night. So I was already kind of dealing with that. And like once these people got their checks, they decided they were going to talk. And so there was this one guy, he must have been drunk, and he just kept talking. And I let him talk for maybe like 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Before I was like, I mean, I will give people a while, because if I don't have to stop the show, I won't.
I feel the exact same way.
Right? Where you're like, if it's not affecting other people and it's just affecting me, I will deal with it.
I can power through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was so blatant and so right in front of me that at a certain point, I just did, you do the thing where you're like delivering jokes to them, they're not answering. And so finally I just bent over and I went, all right, I'm just going to keep looking at you and talking to you until you realize I'm talking to you. Wow, you're still talking. You don't get it. Oh, yep, your wife's tapping you on the shoulder now. You're still not looking at me. Wow, you really don't give a fuck. Until security finally came over and like I was not funny about it. And then I just like forgot where I was for 2 minutes. You know, when you get so mad, you're just like, let me explain to you how comedy works. Like just so mad. And then I had to get back into bed. And luckily I did, but it took a minute. Like Dustin came out of the green room and afterward was like, yeah, it came out, because I was like, this will be good. Like, she never gets as angry. But yeah, I mean, talk about not exuding, like not doing emotional labor. I was just like, I think I said on stage, I was like, I don't have it.
There's
I don't
only
have the
so
patience.
Much you can do.
There's really only so much. Yeah. So when people are like clearly furious in a customer service situation and keeping that smile glued on, I'm like, you are a hero.
People also forget too, like by the time you get onto that stage, especially that first night of the weekend, usually we've been traveling that entire day doing whatever it takes with our bodies to get to this stage. And so if somebody just like doesn't let us do our job, which is the one thing we're there to do, then you're like, okay, man, like it's not like I rolled out of bed on 12 hours of sleep and just popped up here in a good mood. Like, we need this to go well.
Yeah. This is the one hour of a night that I look forward to, and the rest of the day I've been alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always knew when it was time for me to leave a job, if I was always on edge, like a split second away from calling either a coworker or a supervisor a cunt. Yeah. That's when I knew. I was like, oh shit, like I could say this at any second and I would not be able to hold it back. It's time for me to put my notice in.
Right. Like, you're an HR risk.
Yeah, I was. I'm like, that happened a couple times. I'm like, oh, I have to go. I might not be ready, but I gotta go because I am going to leave in a very negative way if I continue working here.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you need that as a tool.
I need this reference, so
may not burn this whole bridge.
If you need to use that, go ahead.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a perfect segue into how you know when emotional labor becomes toxic.
Yes.
So emotional labor can be toxic for the mental health of employees with disrespectful customers, coworkers, or superiors. So emotional labor applies when a waiter is told by their manager to be polite and friendly to a rude customer. Or more seriously, emotional labor might be the work a person is required to do to hide their feelings about a racist or sexist comment in the workplace. Yeah. Wow. So that's going too far when people are expecting you to act like things are fine that really are not fine.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's not just somebody being difficult to work with or peeing when they shouldn't on a plane. It's like, no, this person's, you know, just making very inappropriate comments and you need to be able to say, albeit respectfully, that's not acceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, I have been in a situation, and I think I eventually did the right thing, where I knew about certain harassment going on in one of my places of work, and the person wasn't going to say anything, and the person close to that person wasn't going to say anything, and I felt like so sick knowing about it and feeling like, if I say something, this can cause a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. But if I don't say something, then I don't know if this is ever, you know, gonna stop and all that. And so part of when I left this job, I just told HR in an exit interview what was going on and what I had heard and everything like that. I don't think anything was ever done, but which is very sad and scary.
Yeah.
But like they could have found evidence of harassment and nothing, you know. So it's like when you also hear of things that might not even be directed at you, you just hear about it being directed at other people, and then you're in this like weird space, and then you just have like all this hate towards this one person who doesn't know that you know what's going on and all that.
Terrible.
And if you've ever been yelled at a job for any reason, either by a customer or a boss or a coworker or whatever, that type of environment, I mean, that is so hard to get past and get over and push through. And like, if you are dreading going to that environment every day, that is such a huge drain on your mental health and well-being. I can't. Oh. One of my jobs, I worked in a call center, so you're getting a lot of calls from just like the general public, not super nice bunch all the time.
Yeah.
And I would, in order to like actually kind of like get my anger out, but in a professional way, I would have to hang up on them and then say, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, I was still like, have to get it out, but I can't get it out towards them. Let me put you on hold a second. Oh, you stupid motherfucker. You know, it might not have been the super professional for all my coworkers, but like, that's the kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, there's just no, I can't keep a lot of this stuff in.
Yeah.
If I'm unhappy, it's very hard for me to kind of keep a lid on it.
You gotta like bring a pillow to work to scream into.
In your cubicle. Yeah. Take your little headset off. You know what movie is a great portrait of negative emotional labor?
Devil Wears Prada. Love it.
Oh, that whole movie is centered around emotional labor and what goes into that job that would not be on like the LinkedIn job description to be Miranda Priestley's assistant.
Oh,
it's all of the berating and the, you know, the judgment.
Yikes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Man.
I want to watch that movie. Anytime someone brings up, your hair looks so good. I know I told you that the last time I saw you. If you're not on YouTube, you're missing out. It's so long. You have like mermaid hair. Okay.
Oh, you're very sweet.
That's
Thank
all.
You.
Side note.
My brother got married over the weekend, and so they did the whole hair and makeup assembly line of all the bridesmaids. So I have about 50 pounds of hairspray in, and I'm just going to milk it as long as I can.
Yeah.
Before it turns into dreadlocks.
It looks great.
Okay, so emotional labor plays a central role in our personal lives. When you feel sad, excited, or happy, your emotions don't just reflect your current mood. There are also powerful signals revealing what the people and situations in your life mean to you. For example, let's say your high school friend asks you to host a party with her. You agree, but find yourself soon dreading the thought of it. Mm. You cancel the plan. We know this feeling. You cancel the plan the day before. You know this is selfish, but don't feel very guilty about it. You mostly feel relief. What does this imply? That the friendship was not very important to you. Okay, ooh, agree with that. Disconnect between how we feel and how we know we should feel demonstrates the societal norms that dictate what to feel and when. Another example, let's say you're seeing off your boyfriend at the airport before he is gone for a month. He is distressed at leaving you and you are trying to match his level of sadness. This might be difficult if you actually feel excited at the prospect of your freedom. Why do people force themselves to create the illusion of feeling emotions that they don't feel? People do this because they know that if they don't display the appropriate emotion, they could be scolded or shunned by other people.
Oh, shit, man. I'm going to disagree with these things and switch them, because here's what I'll say. I think that if you don't want to host a party with your friend, that doesn't mean you don't value the friendship. It just means you don't like parties. Right. And I think
that's a possibility for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think if your partner is leaving for a month and all you feel is, thank God I'll be free, I'm not saying you can't feel like sad they're leaving and be like, oh, it might be nice to have some time to myself. Right. I mean, like, if you're just like, thank God, a whole month.
Time
like,
to party.
That's probably a sign that you aren't stoked on your relationship.
Yeah,
right?
I think this is where like the whole love languages can come in too. Where it's like, somebody hosting a party with their friend, that might be an act of them showing their love. But for somebody else, that could be just a freaking huge nightmare that they don't want to do. And they'd rather just like, hey, can we just go to like for coffee for a couple hours and catch up? Like, I don't know. I think, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Taylor.
That is interesting, though, to take note of, like, how often you're creating the illusion of emotions in your life in order to, I mean, I'm sure I do it all the time, kind of being a people pleaser and just trying to, like, look polite at certain times.
Right.
But, yeah. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I can think of faking certain emotions when maybe going through, like, a breakup and I felt like I needed to be sad, too.
Yeah.
But I was really just like, oh.
Yeah.
And I feel sad for not feeling bad, or I feel bad for not feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
But I just feel relief.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be like somebody's crying in front of you, and you're like, all right, well, I'll see you next time.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Yeah. Toss some Kleenex on their head.
Totally.
Okay.
So bye. I feel like there's a way to be respectful without faking, you know.
Yeah.
Emotion or something, right?
Yeah.
The answer, yeah. So emotional displays are currency whose value fluctuates. In our society, feelings are often exchanged as gifts or forms of payments for favors. For example, say an intern needs help with a task and seeks advice from an experienced colleague. The intern might pay the experienced colleague for their time by flattering her. But exchange rates for emotional labor fluctuate. If the experienced colleague constantly spends time helping the intern out, her own work may suffer and therefore her advice will become more expensive. The intern may feel pressure to make his feelings gifts more and more extreme. For example, he might take blame for a mistake made by his experienced colleague. Oh, interesting. So these examples imply how those in power receive more emotional rewards. For those with little power, emotional labor seems to be an unavoidable aspect of their lives.
So true. Totally.
Where you just feel like so, like if somebody gives you an opportunity and you feel so like indebted to them that you'll just do whatever you need to do to like pay them back or show your appreciation, even if it's, you know, a toxic situation, you know?
Yeah. That's such like a gray area because you can't put a monetary value on emotional labor.
Yeah.
And so I totally agree with that.
You see that in our business too. Like you see, I know I definitely like try to be like overly grateful if someone does me a favor that I can't like pay back.
That's all you feel like you can give them is your gratitude.
And you have to tell them how great they are.
Yeah.
You may very well believe, but you do feel an expectation. Not even an expectation. You don't feel like they expect it, but you know, like being on the other side of it from other people who are less experienced than you, because there's always someone more experienced and less experienced than you in show business, that when somebody, you know, lower than you or in experience at least asks you for advice and then says like how amazing you are, you're kind of like, okay, that's all right, that's, I mean, sure,
circle of life,
circle of life. Or if you have somebody give you opportunities and then they have like something come out, you like will promote it.
Yes, yes.
Because you feel like, you know.
Ooh, social media currency, social media labor. That's a whole other thing that we could talk about.
Which is like support. I mean,
it is emotional labor.
Yeah. You're just, you're publicly supporting people.
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Emotional labor and gender. In day-to-day life, women may find themselves doing far more interpersonal labor than men. Yeah.
what?
In a 1976 UCLA study, 45% of women said that they deliberately used emotions to get what they wanted, while only 20% of men said they did. Well, you know, that's unfair because we don't let men know as young boys it's okay to cry, and even more so, it's okay to use crying to manipulate people. And that's
it
just
is
not
a
fair.
Tool. Put it in your tool belt. It is useful.
Hothschild argues that women need to do these things in order to make up for their inherent disadvantage when it comes to power and status.
Boy, I feel like we just went to Mad Men real quick.
I know,
Jesus.
Wow.
This over is... here sobbing trying to get something because apparently I don't make enough money. Jeez.
This is shown in the workplace where half of the jobs predominantly done by women are emotionally laborious, while only a quarter of those done predominantly by men require a great deal of emotional labor. Mm. Yeah, I mean.
Yep, yep.
I agree with that.
That checks
out. If you've ever been like somebody's assistant, I would say that's probably, you know, depending on their mood and stuff. And like when you're working one-on-one with somebody like that, assisting their needs, like personal and professional. Whew. Yeah.
That can be a lot. I don't do well in those situations.
Yeah.
A lot of the jobs I had before doing comedy full time were like administrative assistant, receptionist type of jobs. Mm-hmm. And the one I had in Seattle was great. And I didn't feel that way. But the one I took when I moved to LA for a few months, I've talked about him before. The guy who like I bought a bunch of candy for the office the day I left because he was this like candy Nazi who wouldn't let me buy chocolate for people anymore. He was horrible. And it's like, I don't mind doing the things, like the kind of small work. Like I know where I would be on the, what's the word I'm looking for? On the totem pole in that office. I know obviously being an admin assistant, receptionist, that's very low compared to like that guy who was the head of the company. But it's like, I won't want to do these things for you if you treat me like shit.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm totally okay doing them. I don't have an issue knowing where I stand in the office. Yeah. But if you are shitty to me, then I really don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Relating emotional labor to your daily life. Emotional labor is a central aspect of our jobs and personal lives, but often goes unacknowledged. This can be an issue for those in positions with less power, as they are expected to perform an inordinate amount of emotional labor without necessarily receiving anything in return. Learning about the various forms of emotional labor will help you recognize the role it plays in your everyday life and the emotional labor you may be unknowingly putting on others. Ooh, that's... I guess I don't think about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Emotional. I mean, that's a big part of relationships.
Yeah.
Think about like what you put others through emotionally.
Yeah.
I've had to do that for sure.
I think about that with my friendships, but especially like my sisters, because I like have to be careful because like, we are narcissists and this job is so stupid and you get like so stressed out about dumb shit and you just like feel yourself complaining and getting wrapped up in your own stuff, and then you kind of have to like step back and be like, okay, am I needing too much reassurance right now? Like, is this am I an adult who can take care of myself maybe tonight? Maybe can I take a bath or watch a show?
It does feel like easy to get sucked in, like real zoomed in this job where you're like blinders on, you're just so in whatever's going on in your career. I feel like that happens to me a lot.
I feel like stand-up, and I've got lots of feelings about stand-up, but it felt very cult-like when I was in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's very culty. And some people are like, you know, it's not like all negative, but it's like this weird thing that when you become a part of, it's like, okay, the normies don't understand how this works.
Yeah.
And it's like this really weird group think or whatever about the job. And I'm sure like that's across the board with all kinds of different professions. But it's like, you know, I don't know. There's even just like weird lingo you got to learn and like just all this stuff. And like, you know, you got to work your way up in certain ways and people don't really know the inner dynamics or the inner workings of how to kind of get certain places.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
Hey, don't sit at the table. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. It's like, if you don't know stuff, there's like, you could be making some really weird moves, not knowing, because in any other job, that's probably not the case.
Yeah.
And it's just a very strange It can be a very strange world. Oh, very exciting and lovely, but also very fucking weird.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, talk about emotional labor. I've had so many people, and they're all dudes, make comments to me or other people about, like, does Taylor not like me? Or, like, you seem, like, kind of, you know, standoffish or whatever. And I have really had to go out of my way to be more, like, you know, outgoing and kind of like even just like softening my face more. And my old feeling was like, I'm staying out of people's way. Like, I thought I was doing good emotional labor. I was like, I'm staying out of everyone's way. Nobody has to take care of me or say hi. And I know where I stand on the totem pole, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was coming off as like, oh, Taylor doesn't like me. People I said hi to. And I thought, like, oh, that's great. And they're like, does Taylor hate me? I'm like, no, like I was passing you in a hallway. Yeah. Like so I think there's something to be said for that too. Like being in a more artistic profession where people are very sensitive, you kind of have to be even more like overly, I think more so in LA than anywhere else. Like you have to be
emotional
very
labor.
Positive and upbeat. And I'm sure there are other jobs like that too where, you know, I'm sure if you work at like Lululemon headquarters, you got to be peppy and nice.
Dude, all I know is like from all the different jobs I have had, it's like if it's a trickle down effect, you know? If up at the top of the food chain they're assholes, then that's going to affect everybody, you know, below them. That's going to affect the entire environment. And like, you know, just being able to like bring people together and having mutual respect in a work environment, I feel like is the only way to have that, you know, positivity on a daily basis, is knowing that you're heard, knowing that your supervisor has communicated with you, like, you know, having all of that open communication and experiencing really negative job environments and really positive ones. It's really all about like respect and mutual, you know, and communication.
Yeah.
And I have been yelled at certain jobs, and I always thought it was so uncalled for only because I have supervised people and I've had to deal with certain issues as a supervisor, and I have never once yelled at anybody. I was always able to communicate what's important and what's not, all this stuff, with just talking to them like a human being. So when I think especially in the entertainment industry, people somehow excuse like people yelling in a work environment, and it's like, for me, that just shows very poor, like, you're just very immature. It's immature. It's immaturity. Like, very poor communication skills. And it's like, go gather yourself and then come back in and have a conversation like this.
Yeah.
How much are you going to solve when you're screaming your head off? It's just weird to me. I don't get it.
Oh, well. Emotional labor.
Well, my God, if you're in a shitty environment, tell somebody about it, you know?
Yeah.
Tell a therapist, tell HR, do what you got to do, and or it might be time to peace the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. For sure. We have an iTunes review of the episode. Oh. Thank you guys for continuing to give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. This is from Sarah N. Saw. She says, I love this podcast. I started listening to Self Helpless about a month ago, and I'm just about finished with all of the current episodes. This podcast is very informative while keeping the energy light but respectful. I love listening to it whenever I'm lounging around on the weekend, sipping my tea. I've learned so much from these talented, beautiful, independent, and inspirational women. Keep up the good work.
Aww,
thank you so much, Sarah.
So nice.
Yeah, leave us a review if you haven't yet, and then get a chance to be shouted out on the show.
Yeah, it's so helpful. Yes, yes. You guys have some hot segs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I have a... like a defuck / self careless. So I got booked to do a show in Vermont, a college show, and I'm learning more and more that before I say yes to a college show offer, I really need to sit down on Expedia and figure out exactly what it takes to get my body to this show time, and if it's worth it financially. So turns out, as I was booking, I had already said yes, and I shouldn't have, just for like what it took to get there. I woke up at 4:45 in the morning, drove an hour to LAX, flew from LAX to Boston, and then once I got to Boston, had to run out of the airport, go back through security at a different terminal.
Oh my gosh.
To get on a flight on an airline called Cape Air, which apparently Pete Davidson has a whole bit called Cape Air in his most recent
hour special. I had no idea, but I
Pete Davidson has an hour special?
Huh?
Is it coming out?
It's the one that came out like a year ago, I think.
Oh, I didn't know he had a special.
I didn't either.
Yeah, on Comedy Central.
Oh, okay.
And people were DMing me about it after I posted about it on my story. So it's called Cape Air, and you don't see this when you're booking through Expedia, but they are 9-seat puddle jumper planes. 9-seat.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I have done that.
Same.
Okay. Getting to college shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
So terrifying. I walk up to the counter and they ask me to weigh my bag, but I just have a backpack with me and I'm confused. I'm like, oh, I'm not checking. There's like, no. Like, we need to weigh the bag. And I'm like, okay. So they weigh my backpack and then they go, and then how much do you weigh? Yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? So they have to get everybody on the plane's weight to make sure it doesn't exceed the limit. And then according to your weight, they like Jenga you onto the plane in a way that won't make it like nosedive.
Right.
And I'm just like, I'm looking at all the other passengers, the other 8 passengers, and I'm like, we're using the honor system to determine if we don't crash and burn over Vermont. Like, especially right after the holidays. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, nobody wants to be honest right now. Yeah. I don't feel secure about this. So we have to all give our weight. And then they put me and this girl in the back. They put Kane next to the pilot. Like, Kane was like the co-pilot.
Oh, hilarious.
Sitting in the co-pilot seat.
Oh my God.
And right before we take off, I didn't hear this, but Kane could hear it because he was right next to him. The pilot gets on the radio and goes, yeah, I think we're all clear to go. We were only a couple pounds under the limit, so I mean, it almost would have been a problem.
What?
Whoa,
what?
Kane heard that right before we took off. The pilot, before we take off, turns around to us and goes, okay, so just a couple things about this. You know how, like, when you get on a plane, they tell you to turn your phone to airplane mode, but it's, like, kind of doesn't matter. Well, with this, like, it does matter. Like, turn your phone completely off. There was a girl last flight who didn't, and I couldn't hear the radio in my headphones.
Oh,
like, it was interfering with the signals.
God. That is terrifying.
So again,
he's got very poor bedside manners.
Yeah, again, I'm relying on these other strangers to
follow the rules,
and not try and just like be on Instagram or whatever. And then apparently also when we were in the air, Kane said that at one point the pilot like kind of frantically hit Kane's leg. And Kane had to, like, move his knee over so that the pilot could reach over and pull a lever.
What? Fuck that.
How long was this flight?
An hour.
No.
An hour. Not, like, 15 minutes. Full hour like this.
Yeah.
So I did that, landed. This town did not. They had, like, 2 rental car places, both of which closed at 6 p.m. There were no flights that got there before 6 p.m. There's no Uber or Lyft in this town.
Of course not.
We passed like 3 cemeteries between the airport and the college.
Literally, where people go to die.
Where am I?
This is literally all I did. Oh, no. 21 to 23, by the way.
Fucking don't know how insane college. Standing.
I almost died so many times.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's terribly unsafe.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So the guy who was coordinating the show agreed to, like, I paid for a rental car over the phone and he agreed to pick up the keys for me before they closed and then drop me off at the rental car place. I get the rental car, get to the campus with 12 minutes before I have to go on stage.
Oh my gosh.
And then did 55 minutes,
to a group of like, I mean, I'm talking maybe 16 kids.
Yeah.
In this tiny, their tiny little cafeteria. And went back to the hotel, slept, woke up, did the whole thing going back. Had to get back on a puddle jumper to fly back to Boston. Had a 5-hour layover in Boston. And then flew back to LAX.
Oh, Jesus.
And had the hour drive home. Oh. That was within a 36-hour time frame that I did my that.
God. That, yeah. That's...
Oh, my God, dude.
It's... Yeah.
I just flew one of those planes recently for the first time over... When was that? With Cam. In somewhere in the Midwest. I can't even remember where we were going. But I thought it was a joke. Like, when his parents were like, oh, you're going to have to weigh yourself and weigh the bags. I'm like, oh, very funny. And I'm like, oh, shit. This is true.
Yeah.
I think we were only on there for like 30, 45 minutes, and it was really freaky. But then when we did land and like went through it, I was like, oh, you know, that was actually pretty good. But yours sounds really scary.
Yeah.
Like the pilot did not do any of that.
Oh,
with us. He was very relaxed.
Was it loud and freezing?
Oh, my God. Well, loud and super hot.
Oh,
super,
okay.
Super hot, really loud. The way back, fortunately, there was only like 4 of us. So I was less freaked out about the weight situation, but. It just, man. Also, you don't realize when you're on a big plane that there's a reason why you just get that tiny little window, and that everything else is kind of, you're not supposed to see everything, is what I'm saying. I saw way too much, and I just had to close my eyes.
Like, what'd you see?
Well, you're very acutely aware how high up you are in the sky, because it's just like windows all around you, as opposed to just your little
thing.
And then the dashboard. It looked like a toy plane. Like, it looked like something I flew at Chuck E. Cheese when I was 5.
You don't want to be able to see into the cockpit.
He was, looking at a manual before we started.
What?
No.
Like, in a 3-ring binder.
No.
What?
And, writing things in pencil. I was like, okay.
What?
What century is this?
He's like, I'm just finishing up my course.
Right, exactly. It's like online pilot's
license. I have my learner's permit. That's why Kane's up here.
Oh, my God. It was.
Yeah.
Just awful. Really, really awful travel for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. That does not sound worth it.
If you get offers, just, you know, take a few days, sit on it, think about it, really look into everything, all the accommodations.
You got to pick a number. You got to pick a number and you go under this number. No, I don't do that unless it's local.
Because, it's, and we've talked about this before, it's what number are you willing to fly across the country to just pick up a check and come back? That kind of thing, that's what it is.
Because it's barely so a show. Travel.
Yeah.
You're distracting 15 children for an hour.
They also say, you know, with college gigs, you're not supposed to really reference it being a bad show, because they're often very bad. You know, it's usually just like a small group of kids. Right. You're not supposed to make the kids feel weird or like shit on the campus. And why would I would never do something like that. And then this trip like broke me a little bit.
Yeah.
And about halfway through, it was just, you know, it was going as well as it could for 16 kids.
Yeah.
And at one point, I had mentioned earlier in the set about the type of plane I flew getting in and how treacherous it was. And at one point, I just turned to Kane, who was sitting off of the stage, and I was like, you know what? I think the plane crashed, and this is hell. I think I'm dead. I think we're dead, babe. I think we're dead, and this is hell. And I could just feel like all the kids get really quiet. And I was like, just kidding. You guys are great. This is purgatory at least. I was like,
this is purgatory at least.
I couldn't get out of
it. Oh, that's so funny.
And I mean, they were fine, but I definitely was like, oh, this is what they're talking about not to do. I just hadn't been broken yet.
Yeah. They don't want you to break. I mean, I make fun of it. It can go either way is the thing.
Yeah.
Where like it either they like don't realize what you're doing and it makes everything weird. I did the last college I did was in San Diego, and they had like a carnival going on in the back. It was like a huge auditorium full of like 800 kids. It was like, and it was orientation week, which is not when you want to do it, because it's a bunch of 17 and 18 year olds who haven't made friends yet, who are just there for free pizza.
Yeah.
So in the back, everybody's getting free pizza and like getting caricatures drawn of them, literally. And you're up there, like, and I, so many times, I was just, like, I said things to that effect where, because they weren't, there were certain things they didn't get. I hadn't done a college in a long time, and you have to really shift on a lot of stuff because they've never paid a bill a lot of the time. If you're doing like those orientation, I'm like, oh, a lot of you haven't had jobs yet. A lot of you haven't paid any bills. A lot of you, haven't even been in relationships. I hadn't been in a relationship at that point in college. And a lot of your stuff doesn't work or it makes them uncomfortable. And you just start going like, all right, well, screw you guys. Yeah. What do you know? And then you're like, okay, maybe it's not their fault.
This isn't your fault. But I also am upset about this entire thing.
Yeah.
You know what? College gig does have their shit together pretty well. UC Santa Barbara.
Laughology.
Shout out
to
Laughology.
That's not even a college gig.
That's just a fun show.
That's just a good show.
Actual good show.
Yeah, go to, you know, Saturday nights at 8 p.m. for free in Embarcadero Hall in Isla Vista, California. UC Santa Barbara, they put on a fucking great show there. They have great headliners come in. The students open for the headliners. That's where I did my first set ever. You know, I'm a Laughology alum.
Oh.
And I was like, you know, I've been, you know, I just feel like you hear about all these horror stories with college shows. I'm like, damn, you know what? Really good. Really good show.
Yeah,
they
that's
got
a
there.
Different thing.
That's yeah.
a different thing for sure.
They also had very good founders who were actual, like, they were, you know, comedians, so they knew how to set it up properly.
Yeah, anyway, that's
my
long the fuck.
Oh, that is
South Carolina.
The Cape. The Cape Plain.
Cape Air.
Yikes. Cape Air.
Damn
what about
Cape
you, Taylor?
I have a treat yourself. I have a few treat yourselves. I was in Spokane this weekend, which was great. Thank you guys for coming out. I had my buddy Dustin Nickerson featuring for me, and he headlined on Sunday, and was so good. And he was the reason I spent too much money this weekend because, I mean, it's great to be on the road with Dustin because we like wake up whenever and then we go get like breakfast at 1 p.m. and then we write and then we walk around whatever there is to do. And Spokane's in like such a great little area. It's in like downtown. It's so cute. We went to Atticus Coffee like every day. I bought a t-shirt. Like I was so into it. I'm like, this place is the best.
Did you go to Boo Radley's?
I didn't. There were places we didn't even make it to.
Oh my gosh.
It was so cute. It's that toy
place.
It's
a really cool, like, just the coolest sort of shop ever.
Oh.
It has like a bunch of fun things.
Yeah. I know. We didn't make it over there, but hopefully, you know, they have me back. But it was, they also have, talk about a candy drawer. They have a candy dresser, which I did not have any all weekend, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Because they have, like, king-size candy bars in a dresser.
At the comic
size dresser. Yes. They have a gum drawer. They
their
have a Twix drawer.
Their green rooms are amazing.
It's
to Coma Comedy Club, too.
Insane. Yeah. I have to be there next month. It's dangerous.
Yes. I'm there this weekend.
Yeah. God, it's anyway. But over the weekend, each day we're there for 3 days. First day he's like, we should go to Nike. So we go to Nike, I buy Nikes and they're awesome. And I'm like, okay, well, that's all we're gonna do this weekend. And the next day he's like, we gotta go. He's like, I wanna go to Lululemon. And I'm like, I've never been to Lululemon and I should never go back in to Lululemon.
I've never been there either.
Oh my gosh.
Once you start, You'll
isn't
never
it,
go
it's
back.
It's like yoga plant, yoga pants,
it's
and
it's everything. I got this jacket there.
I was gonna say,
that's
is that jacket
cute.
New? I love that jacket.
It is new. It's from Lululemon. Everything just fits perfectly.
Yeah.
So I got this. I got another white jacket, and then like I had to stop myself from getting anything else. I got some scrunchies.
Yeah.
And
I love that jacket. I love it. It's so form fitting.
It's so good. It's just like everything you have, but like a better version.
Uh-huh.
I didn't buy any pants or anything because I'm like, it's that I can get other places. It's fine. But I know they're better quality than everything else. So I did those two things. And then also the hotel's really nice. Like, it's just lovely. We saw Birds of Prey after a show.
Oh, how was it?
It's so fun. You have to see it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
awesome.
My God. You will love it so much.
It's Harley Quinn crush.
It's the new Harley Quinn movie, which someone posted on somewhere that it wasn't like doing that well box office wise. And I think it's because Suicide Squad was so bad that everybody thinks it's going to be bad.
Suicide Squad.
I think it bombed pretty hard at the box office, right?
Suicide Squad? Yeah. Suicide Squad was pretty rough.
That was
movie.
Cam. That was our first.
This
first
one's
date.
So fun.
Okay.
Was it?
My first date with Cam was seeing Suicide.
But there was so. There was also so much hype around it. Like
the
trailer was so
true.
Good. This one's so good.
Okay.
It's so fun. You will love it.
Okay. I'm excited.
Is Margot Robbie in it or somebody else?
It's Margot Robbie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
The whole time.
Nice.
And she's so good.
Yeah.
And so we saw that and we got like dark chocolate from like Rocky Mountain. We got like, we then like upscale.
Oh, you went to River
it was
Park
so
Square.
Great. Yeah. It was so nice. It was a great weekend. It
That's
was
like one of my
so
favorite
nice.
Places nice. In the entire world is River
yeah.
Park Square.
Oh.
It's really nice.
Cute.
Yeah.
I gotta go to this place.
I thought about you the whole time. I was like, oh, I see why Kelsey wants to move back here
yeah,
and
like
not want to live in LA.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you go there finally. Yeah.
That's so nice. I guess my good shit is Cam and I found a wedding venue, so that's good.
Love it.
Very, very happy about that. I was real stressed. I was just stressing out about, like, where is this fucking thing going to be? When is it? Can we just, like, find something and pick a date?
Yeah.
And so this is the third place we looked at, and we're both like, yeah, yeah, great, let's do it.
What a bride you are. What's this fucking place going to be?
I was just so ready. I'm going to have fun planning my wedding. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
I don't want it to consume the next year of my life. I just have no interest in doing that. I want to get the venue set up, send out the emails that need to be sent, send out my evites, and fucking relax until closer to the wedding. Then there we go. So wedding. Yeah. So we found the venue. Very happy about that. And I would say that's my biggest good shit. Another good shit. Cam and I got, I think I told you guys, we got a house cleaner, which is just the best game changer.
Great investment.
Once a month?
Once a month or once every other month, depending on like what we need. But once she was done, we're like, oh, our apartment's never been clean. We've been living in filth.
clean.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No, when she was done with it, everything is sparkling. I mean, ooh. I didn't even know that it could get that nice. So I'm very happy about that because like the way that Cam and I have kind of worked out our like chores and like, you know, all that stuff. I do the cleaning, like most of it. And so like for me to like deep clean the apartment once a month, it would probably take me 8 hours. Like I'm not very good at it. Like there's things I miss. And yeah, man, that's just, it's so nice to have that taken care of and like,
yeah,
be able to kind of put that time and energy into some other stuff. So
awesome.
That's great.
That's been nice.
That's great.
Yeah. Those are my good shits.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, this episode comes out on Monday, February 24th. At that point, I will have been to Tacoma Comedy Club, so thank you to all the helpsters that came out. I'm sure it was awesome to see you guys. I'm going to be headlining Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin, March 5th through the 7th, and then Go Bananas in Cincinnati, March 19th through the 22nd. And then Dr. Grins in Grand Rapids, April 9th through the 12th. And Spokane Comedy Club, May 7th through the 9th. So go to kelseycook.com for tickets and tour dates.
Great. And then this weekend, I am at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club.
That'll be so fun. I love that club.
Really?
It's such a great time. Like,
The
people working there are the best. They treat you so well. It's a great time.
How
it's
are
a great
the crowds? Because it's still Vegas. It's Vegas,
so it's, like, the club has super high ceilings, which sometimes, like, acoustically doesn't feel as nice as some other places. But like, people are nice and great.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
I always dread going to Vegas just because Vegas crowds are so touristy.
Yeah.
Although I guess the store and the cellar now too are like pretty touristy. But yeah, there's something about Vegas. I think I just like I did the Laugh Factory for a couple years and that's like really touristy. And then the cellar's pretty good. But yeah, I haven't done Jimmy Kimmel yet.
You'll have a great time.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm excited. So that's the 27th through March 1st. My Netflix special comes out March 3rd. So excited. And then March 5th through 7th, I am at Hilarities in Cleveland. The 8th through 15th, I'm going to be doing spots in New York. People keep messaging me about when I'm going to be in New York. I'm not headlining there anytime soon, but that is, I am back and forth all the time doing spots. And then I'm at the La Jolla Comedy Store the 19th through 21st.
That's awesome. And if this is the 24th, that means my Thriving Artist course is officially out. Finally. Oh my God. I'm so fucking excited, you guys. This is basically an online course that walks you step by step through everything that you need to know to start a product-based business. So if you make anything, whether it's baked goods or candles or you paint on stuff or make jewelry, I basically reveal all the secrets on exactly what I did in order to make enough money doing Dicks by Delaney, which is my product-based business, and like basically how I was able to leave my day job to do it full-time. I share a lot of personal information and mistakes so you can avoid them, and I just walk you through everything, picking a product and packaging and social media and marketing and finance and legal and, you know, diversifying your income and all that. And it's just very, very simple steps. I can't stress that enough. We don't get into anything crazy. It's like anybody can just do this, use these templates, you know, copy and paste type of shit. So yeah, you don't need like an MBA or to be a, you know, social media wizard or anything like that crazy. So yeah. Check it out, DelaneyFisher.com. You can also find it in the link in my Instagram bio at Delaney Fisher. And yeah, I'm super excited about it. There's also going to be a special offer, a limited time offer for a one-on-one call with me as well if you purchase the course in the first few months of the launch. So awesome. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yay!
Good shit happening, everybody.
Yes! I know. Spirit hands.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content, ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on ttomcomedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at KelseyCook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at KelseyCookComedy. Twitter is at KelseyCook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.